It's a gospel music praise party.
Let's go!
TCM Radio, where ministry and music meets demand.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
I want to take my lady out somewhere nice.
Man, I got the perfect place. The Taste of Theater. On October 12th and 13th at the Portis Theater, 4050 North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago.
What?
Man, I'm trying to save you some money here. Playwrights from around the country will showcase one scene of their play for the audience to vote on.
How much?
$20 gets you one scene of six different plays. Atasteoftheater.com.
Where do I get my ticket?
Atasteoftheater.com.
I'm there. Everyone's a star.
My pastor asked me to put on a play.
I wouldn't know what to do there.
Then let's go together to A Taste of Theater, October 12th and 13th at the Portage Theater, 4050 North Milwaukee in Chicago. Mr. Shelley Garrett, creator of the hit play Beauty Shop, will be there. He will be teaching on scripts, marketing, and more.
Where do I sign up at?
Atasteoftheater.com.
Where?
Atasteoftheater.com.
Where? I ain't complaining, I'm just explaining.
Atasteoftheater.com or 312-488-9311.
Praising the Lord in song and ministry 24 hours a day. TCM Radio.
Welcome to Your Motivational Moment with Tamala Odom on TCMRadioStation.com.
Hello, Radio World. Thank you for tuning in to Your Motivational Moment. I am your host, Tamala Odom. Now, before we get started with our show, I want to tell you we're going to do something a little bit different here on our broadcast because we have so many topics that we want to talk about. So in our first half, we're going to bring to you a special topic. And then on the second half of our broadcast, we are going to bring to you part two of the show that we talked about when our teachers were on strike and we had a lively discussion, and we have a representation from the teachers union and one of our rank and file teachers that are in the studio, and they're going to be here to answer any of your questions that you had, because we had a lot of folks who had questions last time that we wanted to make sure that we got those questions answered for you. So our telephone number here at the studio is 708-808-7662. Again, that phone number is 708-808-7662. Okay, let's get right to it. I want to share with you some statistics that I think are extremely important. Now, when it comes to teenagers, 820,000 teenage girls become pregnant each year. That is a high number of teenage girls. And of those 820,000, 79% of these unwed teenage girls become pregnant and they have no support system within their homes. And the suicide rate amongst teenagers have increased by 60% in the last 45 years. Now, when it comes to the nation's economy, we know that teenagers try their best to find some sort of employment in the summertime. And this past summer of 2012 was a huge disappointment for our teenagers. As a matter of fact, we found out the statistics show that most teenagers were unable to find employment because they did not have any job-ready skills. They did not have personality, that's what some employers said. They didn't have social skills. And the last thing is that a lot of employers were afraid to hire on students to come in for the summer. So these are some issues that we certainly have to talk about. Where is the disconnect when it comes to our youth? So we have with us, joining us by phone from Memphis, Tennessee, we have with us Miss Loretta McNary, and she has an organization that we're going to talk more about that's in Memphis that is centered around our girls in that particular area. So welcome, Loretta, to Your Motivational Moment.
Thank you so much, Tamala, for the invitation. I'm very excited to talk to you about Pink Eagles, the name of the organization, and to share amazing stories of success on what happens when you get involved in a child's life.
And we're certainly happy to talk to you, because I think that when we look at the statistics, we become very concerned with our teenagers. So it's great to know that there are organizations, Loretta, that exist such as yours that are doing positive things within our community. So if you'd like to talk to Ms. Loretta McNary, give us a call here at the studio, 708-808-7662. Again, that telephone number is 708-808-7662. Okay, Loretta, give us some information about Pink Eagles.
Okay, Pink Eagles is a nonprofit organization that serves, supports, and empowers girls ages 7 to 19. We build our program around four pillars, which are self-esteem, leadership development, entrepreneurial, and philanthropy training. And we find that those four help create a holistic balance in anybody's life. So we kind of incorporate that into our curriculum for our girls. And we meet weekly with them.
So I want to say, first of all, to our listeners, the way Loretta and I connected is through a powerful network online. It's called the Powerful People and Friends Network. You can find them if you Google them on Yahoo or wherever search engine you like to use. And if you go to this website, you will find that there are all kinds of people across the United States that are doing phenomenal things that are helping not just our youth, but overall. So when you get a chance, Google Powerful People and Friends, and you can find all kinds of people. You can also find Loretta there. Okay, Loretta, you are very popular because our phone lines are lighting up. People want to talk to you. Okay, we're going to take our first caller. Caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
Hi, I'm Destiny. I'm calling from Memphis.
Hi, Destiny from Memphis. What's your question or comment?
Oh, I just want to say hello, Loretta. I follow her. I read a book, and I really do love it, and I watch your show. I just wanted to say hello, and I'm a fan.
Wow.
You're so awesome. And she's being very modest. She's also my personal, very personal hairstylist. So any of the really good hair photos that you see of me online, anywhere, and for the red carpets, Destiny is responsible. We met professionally, but she is truly a very great, wonderful friend and very supportive of my Pink Eagles as well.
Okay, so do you have a child or do you volunteer with Pink Eagles at all, Destiny?
Yes, I do volunteer. I have a lot of kids that look up to me in the community, and I always try to keep Loretta and, you know, just everybody connected to what we're doing here in Memphis, just trying to make our children, you know, I don't know if Loretta even notices, but she's a very influential person that a lot of kids here look up to.
Oh, wow. So, and that's one of the things I want to bring out on this show. And we're going to talk in our second half of the show. We're going to talk to the folks here in Chicago about what's going on in our schools. But that's a main issue and a concern. Do our youth have anyone that they can look up to nowadays? That's very important. Okay, thank you for your call, Destiny. We really appreciate you calling into the show. And keep listening, okay?
All right.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Destiny. You rock.
Okay, we have another caller. Caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
This is Ann from California.
Powerful people and friends, Ann Dandridge. Welcome to the show, Ann.
How are you?
This is how we connected. Ann is a phenomenal woman. She's actually a publicist in Los Angeles. Can you tell them a little bit about your organization, Ann?
Yes, Powerful People and Friends are people who gather together to help improve the quality of life for others. And I also want to know those statistics that you quoted about teen pregnancy and teen death. Can you tell me how the two of you will help that problem?
That's a huge concern. I'll let our guests go first.
Like I said earlier, you will be so surprised by spending 90 minutes each week with a girl helps changes her entire world, not only today, but it empowers her so that she can feel good about herself and make better decisions and ultimately come back and do the same thing that was done for her through these organizations, not only mine, but we have tons of great organizations. And I think because we don't do a great job sometimes of getting the word out and telling our own stories, that families don't know how to find us. So my goal is not only to be to mentor girls, but to make sure that I'm doing shows like yours, Pamela, to help get the word out. Because we live in a mobile community these days. Everybody knows somebody from Chicago. Everybody mm-hmm. knows somebody from L.A. and Memphis. So if we can talk more about what you do in Chicago, what Ann's doing in California, and what I'm doing in Memphis, then we can kind of connect the dots. Because one thing for sure, in order to save a life, you got to give some of your own life
absolutely.
And time to somebody else.
And I think you're absolutely right, because you find that a lot of our youth are just misguided. And I think that overall our teachers are doing a phenomenal job, but they can only do so much.
Right. So they can't do it alone.
They cannot do it alone. And it's really, to be quite honest, it's not their responsibility. Their job is to educate. And it's important to have organizations such as yours, Loretta, that are within the community that can lend a helping hand to our schools. Because when you think about the statistics, I only read a few of them, but there are so many more. When you talk about bullying, which is a huge issue nowadays, there are so many things that our youth are going through that they need some sort of guidance and someone to show them that there's a better way to live. And you need to have some supplements to the curriculum that is being taught in the classroom. So that's huge. That's very important.
I totally agree with that. It takes all of us. You know the old saying, everybody's heard it. If you have ever heard anything, you've heard that it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2012, it certainly takes two or three villages now because, you know, everybody's so busy, everybody's so caught up, and people literally are doing the best that they can. So it's really up to organizations like mine and others that you all know about to join in with parents, so that the teachers can just educate, because they have to do more than educate these days. They have to be mommy, they have to be daddy,
mm-hmm.
they have to be counselors and pastors. They have to do everything for their child because they're not getting it at home. But it's not always because parents are negligent. Sometimes they just don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know how.
But so, Loretta, my question to you is, how do you deal with that parent and you in this fashion of it? You have to act the same way a teacher does, because a teacher sometimes will have to deliver bad news to a parent, and because of that, that parent may become out of control, and you may have a situation where the parent may not believe that their child is wrong. So if you're going to be providing mentorship to these girls through Pink Eagles, you're going to have to encounter every now and again an irate parent. How do you handle that? How do you educate the parents as to how they can express themselves without becoming, oh my gosh, so to the point where they're not, you know, being a problem or a poor example to their children?
Right, and I do understand the scenario that you're building all this around, because I know teachers deal with this. I have my sister-in-law is a teacher. She's like the closest one to me. I know several of them, and I hear these stories. But with our program that I have, and it's just been a blessing, because I am very transparent when I talk to my girls and their parents, their moms. I know their dads, too, those that have them. And I stay up front. Here's what I can do. Here's what I promise to do. Here's who I am. This is where I've been. This is where I am now. And this is where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you can expect 100% of the time. And I ask them the same thing. Just be as good as I get. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give more than what you get on any day.
Absolutely.
So we create that synergy where we know that the child is the most important thing, and I don't get in their personal business. I just do what I can on my side and let them be the parent. I don't ever cross that line where I'm trying to be the mama and the daddy for somebody mm-hmm. else's babies, but I do love on them that way. But I understand, you know, because they'll say, well, she's in trouble, so she can't come. To me, that's the worst thing to do, is to say, is the youth taking Pink Eagles away as a punishment when I'm the thing that's trying to help her to do better.
Mm-hmm.
But that's her household, so I have to respect that and abide by that. And so we come together and we do what's best for the kids.
So do you offer any classes or workshops for the parents at all?
Oh, my goodness. My parents, the problem is, like you said, for, you know, I've read some of your stuff, and you literally work with the children, but your whole goal is to help parents
Absolutely.
Be better parents.
Mm-hmm.
But we know if we can reach a child and we can build that relationship with them, and they go home and talk about, well, Pamela did this, and Ann said this, and I just really, really loved them. And then the parent, you know, they get a little curious,
mm-hmm.
and they want to start coming and seeing what's going on. So public speaking works for anybody. The dynamics are the same. The self-esteem works for anybody. It's the same. You just
mm-hmm.
got to use them. So my moms literally stay a lot on Tuesdays instead of going and using that time. They stay, and they learn, and they grow as well.
Which is vitally important, especially for our girls nowadays. Okay, we have another caller. Caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh, Ann.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking, too, that there are a lot of different organizations that help the youth, and the youth should seek out help from different organizations.
Okay.
I was really involved with the Brent Shapiro Foundation, and where the young kids die from drugs and alcohol.
So I think that anytime you have foundations that can help the children, that's important too, mm-hmm. because they go with them through rehab, they go with them and send them to college, and then they help improve their lives.
Mm-hmm. Which is huge. Okay, thank you, Ann, for calling into the show. We really appreciate your question and your comment.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have another another caller. Okay, caller, what's your name and from where are you calling? Okay, can you say it again for us, caller? Oh, okay. All right, so what's your question or comment for Loretta?
Comment on helping a young lady here in the city of Memphis. I think she's about the only one that have an outlet for a young girl of that age. And we really appreciate her around Memphis.
We thank you for your question or comment. So it looks like, thank you for calling. So it looks like, Loretta, that there are so many people that are calling in from Memphis just to really thank you for the hard work that you're doing. That this is great to hear. It's great to hear when people can tell you what you're doing is actually working. Don't you agree?
It really is. You know what? I'm just like, I'm really in a good place right now. And I appreciate all the love and support I get from Memphis. And I do. I talk so much about Pink Eagles that I have grown people who, you know, I want to be a Pink Eagle, literally.
Wow.
And they are encouraging me for the last 2 years to do. And I have the program already written for boys called Blue Eagles.
Okay.
And in one of your questions, you were asking me, you know, what was the origin of Pink Eagles? It actually is an acronym, Pamela.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
It's actually an acronym. It stands for Powerful, Intriguing, Non-Threatening, and Kind, Empowering All Girls, Letting Everyone Succeed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what it stands for. That's our goal. That's our mission.
And that's awesome to hear that that's your mission, and it sounds like you're doing a phenomenal job of accomplishing your mission. So let's talk a little bit about your book. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. That's my other baby. The book is called Faith for the Next Step. And one thing I know a lot about now is faith.
Mm-hmm.
And my faith is in God, that He will do just what He says in His Word. And He has done nothing short of that. Has it been easy all the time? No, it mm-hmm. has not. It mm-hmm. has not been easy for me. But I'm on the good side now. And I'm in a good season of, you know, the seeds that I've planted are really harvesting. And my whole thing is, this is what I say when people watch my show. I want you better for having spent those 30 minutes with me before. I wanted to make a difference. I don't want to just be on TV to entertain you, to say I'm on TV or that people know my name. I want you better somehow. Maybe, you know, is it just a smile? Is it just a way of thinking, a way of doing something different, or just an interruption in your negative thoughts or a bad day? That's what I want people to remember when they watch me or hear me or see me.
And I think that is certainly definitely a great plan to have when you talk about how you want to impact the community. So we have a caller. So let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
Hi, I'm calling from Chicago. My name is Sharon. I'd like to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
When these young girls are counseled, what's their major reason for committing suicide?
Wow, that's a huge question to ask. Okay, Loretta, so with the girls that you work with, do you ever encounter girls who may contemplate suicide at all?
We've actually had a speaker coming in, and she contracted polio when she was an adolescent, and she is an amazing author, very famous now. She came to speak with the girls, and one of the girls asked her specifically, she said, well, did you ever think about killing yourself? Because she was talking about how kids laughed at her, because she has to wear braces, she has to wear special shoes, and she had to walk with special crutches.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can imagine that a girl going to school with all this going on is definitely going to get teased in the world that we live in today, because
mm-hmm.
it's not perfect. And so she asked her that, because I guess the girl was interpreting that I wouldn't live through that. And so we created a whole workshop around, have you ever thought about committing suicide?
Wow.
And if so, why? And just in our group, and I've read other statistics that talk about this, it's because life gets really, really hard for them because they feel alone, number one. They feel unloved, number two. And they feel not good enough. Which all that really says is, nobody loves me because I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that our youth nowadays have so much that they're dealing with because they are expected to be adults so soon that that has a bearing on them making a decision to commit suicide or not?
Not only are they expected to be, to grow up in certain areas, but a lot of them are told, okay, I need you to be an adult here. Mm-hmm. But when I'm around, you got to be a kid again. So just understand the balance in that for a kid. I got to take care of my little brothers and my little sisters. I got to cook. I got to clean. I got to watch them overnight while my mom's out working or whatever. And then when she comes home, then I have to disappear. I'm no one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no one now because mommy's home, so the kids go to mommy. Mommy goes to the kids. I'm through, so they no longer need me. So kids are having to deal with all of that. And this has been going on not just now, but each generation has had to deal with its own set of ills. But this generation, because they have more access to, you know, the internet has brought the world home, into our home. Unlike what TV did, mm-hmm. you can now communicate with these people. When we just had TV, we could just wish on stars and wish we were in love with them, mm-hmm. or they loved us, and we wish we could be that person. But with the internet now, that's why cyberbullying and cyber relationships are so big and so toxic now, because you can absolutely communicate with somebody and they can be whoever you want them to be.
Right, because you don't see them behind that computer.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's no way to prove it. And so that's why we even have 2012, we still have human slavery. And mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's called trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Where girls are going out, falling in love with people over the internet, and boys and women and men, and then they're sold into prostitution, or they're used over the weekend and sent back home. So you can imagine what that does for a fragile self-esteem anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's great
but
that
the
you're...
key to it,
mm-hmm.
there is a solution to all of this, but it's going to take all of us getting involved and adults being adults and dealing with our own stuff, so that we can help them deal with theirs.
And that's huge, because if the adult that is supposed to be the one that is giving instruction to that young person is not made whole, how can they be of any help to them? It's virtually impossible.
Right, because it's generational. Mm-hmm. That same individual never had what they can't give to their own child when they were growing up. That's just one. And I'm not saying this is for every situation, because I can't answer that, because I can only deal with situations that I've personally been a part of. But I know it all reflects back to love and self-esteem and support.
Mm-hmm.
So we as adults got to learn how to deal with, you know, our own baggage, why we don't love who we are, why we didn't follow our own dreams, why we didn't succeed, why we don't pursue passion, mm-hmm, you know, or we mm-hmm. let jobs take care of, you know, over that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because we're passing it on. We keep passing on our crap to our kids.
And that's where the cycle begins.
It continues,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now talk to us a little bit, because we heard some of our callers from Memphis talk about your television show. And I heard you talk about it a little bit. So give our listeners a bird's eye view as to what your talk show is all about.
Okay, a bird's eye view.
Because we want them to tune in, so we don't want to give it all to them already.
And, you know, we're rushing through all of this, so I want people to make any choices about how they're feeling, because I know people that listen to these shows, they're searching, they're needing help themselves. So please seek out resources that mm-hmm. can help you, because we're only touching the surface, the very inch of a surface of these problems, not trying to tell you this is the catch-all end-all. So I definitely want people to seek out resources wherever they are, number one.
Absolutely.
Number two, the show is like the national shows. We do makeovers. We do how-tos. We have experts come on. We do fashion shows. We talk about, I guess it'll be easier to say what we don't talk about than all the many, many subjects that we do talk about. We don't do who the baby daddy, and we also do not do any topics that are, you know, in litigation,
mm-hmm.
or anything that potentially may go into litigation, because we're only hearing one side, and I don't do one side.
Right, right.
I'm very solution oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And the show, I also travel with the show, and I cover a ton of national award show red carpet events.
And I think that's the fun part. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Can we talk about something fun now?
Let's talk about the fun stuff, right.
I'm working with my girls fun because we do a pageant. We go on college tours. We do a ton of fun stuff. It's not all serious. I want people to understand that. And I'm working within our school system now to get the program within the school system here. So my goal is to launch Pink Eagles to have chapters all over the place. So we'll talk more about that hopefully at another time.
Sure.
But the show, I've gone to the Stella Awards like 5 years in a row and interviewed everybody. If you name somebody, I probably have interviewed them instead of me just naming everybody.
I saw on your website
the Image Awards two or three times.
Right. And I saw that on your website, you had interviewed, there was Yolanda Adams, just to name a few people. There's Denzel Washington.
Oh, Shirley Caesar, my favorite, Denzel Washington. Mm-hmm. My first year at the Image Awards, I got the one and only TV interview that he did that day. And the first was with CNN, and then he did one with me.
Wow.
I'm 1 year old.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was, and it was just the favor of God on my life, and I know I was called to do this. I know I was called. I did not choose it. That was another question. I did not say one day I want to grow up and have my own TV talk show. Never, ever,
wow.
ever.
So how did it all happen for you?
Long story short, I'm a writer, and I used to write. Even as a kid, I was a writer. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote for a community paper here. A radio director read something I wrote, offered me a job after an interview and a radio check and all that good stuff. So I hosted my own radio talk show on a major gospel radio station here locally. Became number one out of 13 stations for like 2 years. And then people said, well, you're so good. Your voice is so awesome. You need to be on TV. And I'm like, baby number five. I hadn't lost all my baby weight, so I didn't want to be on TV. As 10 to 15 pounds. That's what they say, but I say a good 20 pounds.
Right.
I'm trying to help myself out.
Right.
So finally, after the third time, I heard a message so audibly in my spirit that said, what's more important, your vanity or my message from you? Yeah. So 9 years later, I've been hosting a show for Comcast, which was Time Warner then, called On Cable Tonight. And my show, the Loretta McNary Show, which is taped live in front of a studio audience, is 6 years old this December 3rd.
Wow. Congratulations on that. That is phenomenal.
Girl, that's why, you know, I share my story, and I have to be in the community, not only here locally, but I travel to Atlanta, Nashville a lot. And I got to let, you know, young people see me so they can see somebody who is doing that thing on TV in a way that they can, you know, dream about and be able to touch me and see that, hey, if it happened for Loretta, it can happen for
Absolutely. Me. Absolutely. So you're showing your life as an example for not just our youth, but just for people overall, which I think is fantastic.
It's never too late. So they say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Yeah. It's not too late for you to live your dreams,
yes.
baby.
Absolutely.
And you're obligated, because we're so interconnected, Tamela, that if you had started your show and I hadn't started my show, we wouldn't be here today
Absolutely.
Talking about how everybody else can get together and help our young people and inspire other people to do it. So that's how interconnected we all are on a global basis. So if I didn't do what I did, and then I've helped other people launch their businesses, their organizations. I've encouraged people, you know, and it's just God through me. I don't take any credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows how interconnected we are. So if you never followed your dream of doing this, and I never followed my dream of doing this, think of the people that we've impacted that we wouldn't have impacted.
Absolutely. That is important. So I certainly want us to keep in contact because, again, as you mentioned, you just never know how people can impact your lives and how some of the things that we all do are closely related. And I'm sure that there are folks who are listening to your motivational moment this evening that want to check your show out and find out where they can pick up a copy of your book or just stay in contact with you. So share your information with our listeners.
The best way is to please go to my website. I have tons of social media. You can find me on Facebook, connect with me on Twitter and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want you to go to the website because it's a testament to what I'm talking about. It's proof is in the pudding, and you can see all that. And so the website is www.loretta, L-O-R-E-T-T-A, McNary, M-C-N as in Nancy, A-R-Y.com.
Very good.
LorettaMcNary.com.
And then, of course, they can also Google powerful people and friends, and they can find you there as well.
Definitely. You can find me there.
Well, this has been a pleasure. And as I said at the beginning of the show, Loretta, we are going to spend the second half of our broadcast talking to teachers here in Chicago. We're going to talk about some of the updates that have gone on after the strike. And feel free to join us for the second half of the show, because I think that your organization could certainly provide ideas and just insight as to what's going on overall, because the issue that we face when it comes to education is not just here in Chicago, it's all over. So we hope that you will stay and join us for the second half of our broadcast. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we are going to talk with two Chicago Public School teachers, Ms. Tara Stamps, and we also have an organizer with the Chicago Teachers Union, Brandon Johnson, who's going to give us an update of what's going on in the school system. Back in a moment.
It's a gospel music praise party.
Let's go!
TCM Radio, where ministry and music meets demand.
School today.
Have to be a tree in the school play.
Good, you like trees?
Well, I like climbing them, but I've never been one.
Good point.
Annie gets to be the princess.
Oh.
But she has to kiss a boy, and he's dressed up like a big green frog.
Fly without putting your life on pause. Be yourself nonstop. American Airlines.
The Living Word Outreach Christian College and School of Ministry is an accredited college offering programs from the certificate to the master's degree. You may also qualify to enter our School of Leadership Studies in programs such as our new Associate in Ministry or Associate in Pastoral Ministry with internship and licensure, or our Master of Organizational Leadership graduate program, or perhaps even our School of Christian Dimensions, which takes you on a journey to understanding faith and meaning in life. We offer face-to-face, online, and the course Respondents Advantage. So call our office Tuesdays through Thursdays between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. at 708-248-6317 to find out more about our affordable tuition. Our business office is located at 4440 Lincoln Highway in Matteson, Illinois, Suite 104. Studies are going on now, so call our office at 708-248-6317. That's 708-248-6317.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward.
Participation may vary.
Hey, Thirst, can I try out a few Coke Summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this?
Yes.
And what about this?
Yes.
Ha! Gotcha there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here. Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way! Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're gonna need more than two guys, sir.
You're right, what'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Praising the Lord in song and ministry 24 hours a day. TCM Radio. Radio.
Welcome to Your Motivational Moment with Tamala Odom on TCMRadioStation.com.
All right, we're back. Thank you for tuning in to Your Motivational Moment, and I'm sure that you were certainly inspired by the first half of our broadcast. We have, and we still have with us, Miss Loretta McNary, who is from Memphis, Tennessee, and she has a phenomenal organization, which is called Pink Eagles, and she gave us some great information about what she's doing there, and it sounds as if she's going to be doing some things nationwide, so look forward to getting more information about that. Okay, so if you've listened to Your Motivational Moment quite often, you know that we talk a lot about the issues that are centered around education in the city of Chicago. And you're probably familiar with the fact that the Chicago teachers went on a labor strike and they stood up for what they thought was very important. And they worked out a contract with the Board of Education here in the city of Chicago. And now school is back in session. So we have with us two of the teachers who have been with us on Your Motivational Moment in the past. We have with us Ms. Tara Stamps, and we have with us Mr. Brandon Johnson. And they're going to give us an update and an overview of what's going on since we are back in school and everything is in session. So I'm going to turn the broadcast over to them. So thank you, folks, for coming back to Your Motivational Moment.
You're welcome. Thanks, Tamala. And it's always a pleasure to be on your show. You've been a gracious host, so we appreciate that and providing voice and help us amplify what is something that is so critical, which is the public education system. So first of all, you know, I think it's important that we start off with a thank you to our parents, because without our parents in this struggle, I don't think we would have walked away with many of the victories that we did walk away with. And there was a poll that went out the fourth or fifth day of the strike. 66% of parents who have children in the public school system supported our job action, our strike. That number was actually even higher among parents of color. Because the poll only took a poll of likely voters, that, you know, essentially leaves out a good portion of our parents, you know, who are not considered quote unquote likely voters. So we had tremendous amount of support. And so I think that's a big deal. I thought what was also interesting, folks were very concerned about us striking because somehow by us striking, you know, black and brown children on the streets would cause the streets to burn up, which I thought was extremely offensive.
You heard that a lot, yeah.
You did, that somehow there's some safety issues. But three of the days that we were on strike, there was not a single murder in Chicago.
Wow.
So we'll let your listeners draw some conclusions from that, that it actually turns out that the work that we provide and do every single day, apparently parents get it, and our students get it as well. So some of the things that we were able to walk away with in this agreement, because it's not codified just yet. It's got to be ratified. We are very much a democratic body, which I think Chicago and the rest of the world recognizes that now. But there are some key things in there, one of which is there is now a committee where parents will be able to sit on to have a real substantive conversation about class size. That's a
important.
Big deal. We also were able to, of course, within this interim agreement, which actually happened before we went out on strike, is that over 600 teachers were rehired to ensure that students would get art, music, technology, world language, physical education, which was huge. The board was not committed to doing that. Here's something else that I think your listeners will find absolutely astonishing. We had to force the board to agree that students should have books and working computers on the first day of school.
You had to, wait a minute, I don't want to spend too much time on this. So the Board of Education in the city of Chicago felt that as teachers, you can do your job and do it well without books.
We literally had to make this a part of our contract agreement. So, you know, I'm not sure what they expected us to be able to do without books.
What do you, how do you teach?
And I think what is ironic is that the city that launched the first black president, kids are now actually able to read about them on the first day of school.
Wow.
And this is, you know, we're obviously tickled a little bit because this stuff is actually, you know, quite devastating, because these gross, humiliating circumstances that our students are asked to perform in day in and day out, it's just unconscionable to think that they would expect students and teachers to move forward without these basic essentials. One other little small one, too, is that special education, students with IEPs, there's a cap on class sizes, particularly with inclusion school classrooms. So like me and Ms. Stamps, and she'll speak about this, you know, they don't have isolated classrooms as much as they used to with special education students. And so students would come into me and Ms. Stamps' class because we taught, you know, classes like writing and history, a lot of classes that actually special ed students actually do quite well in. But with that, what was happening when you have dynamic teachers like me and Ms. Stamps, sometimes that number of special education students gets a little bit too high. And so that actually becomes very difficult for us to actually have, you know, real balanced classrooms. So we were able to put a cap on that. One other small one, every year teachers receive reimbursement for investing in their classroom, about $100. We obviously always spend more than that.
I'm sure.
And so now the cap is $250.
Okay.
Why is that a big deal? Because it's like a catch-22. Now that teachers know that they get $250, what's going to end up happening is they're going to end up spending more money.
Sure.
And from, you know, chalk, erasers, uniforms, you know, helping Moesha get her hair done for eighth grade graduation. I mean, we do it all, washing clothes. This is reality. And so we've got some of those victories, but we still have a long way to go.
But I just want to say really quickly, so the basic supplies that you need to do your job and to do it well? Because you mentioned, Brandon, chalk and erasers. They don't provide that for you?
Hi, welcome back. Thank you, Ms. Odom. Unfortunately not. Not in a lot of our schools. Some of our schools, first of all, you need to understand the context of what we're talking about. Chicago is still a tale of two cities. There's the have and the have not. So you have this great divide, you know, of schools on the north side and their resources and what they have access to that students on the west and south side do not. It is not the same setup. It's not the same staffing. It's not this. It's not equitable resources. So in many cases, you are providing your own, you know, not only your student supplies, but your own supplies at the on the first day of school. Not only that, it's something about supplies and being prepared that people seem to think you only need them in September, like once they're gone.
But the school year is ongoing, November. Though.
Exactly. So you're replenishing those items. You know, one of the teachers last week said, you know, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to just go out and buy me, buy ink cartridge, $130.
Wow.
You know, because she's been working 3 weeks and, you know, you have the computer, but you don't have the printer and the printer. So it's just so many other small, you know, that other people would consider small things. But for a teacher, it's critical.
Major. But outside of the supplies, as Brandon mentioned, the teachers, and we talked about that in the first half of the show, that you truly care about the well-being of the students.
Absolutely.
So it goes far beyond the classroom.
First of all, you know, I am, before I even, when I took up the calling to become a teacher, because this was not my first choice. This had to be the Lord in my life, because this is not what I had planned on doing. But I said that, you know, more than I wanted to be a good teacher, I wanted to be an advocate for young people.
Mm-hmm.
I just grew up in a time when young people didn't have a voice. I knew that when I was a teenager, I didn't necessarily feel like I had a voice all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be an adult that young people trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Because when young people don't trust an adult, which is why the Pink Eagles and other programs are so important, they make bad choices.
They do.
They make poor decisions. And it's not because they always want to. It's because they don't have anybody else there to navigate them through this very difficult maze of growing up and becoming female and becoming male, a man and a woman. They don't have anybody to kind of shepherd them through this process. So I wanted to be that person. So my life as a teacher has been so much more because I've just poured into the lives of my children in a way that you will never be recognized for in a school, so to speak.
Right.
But I'm the first person parents call when something good or bad happens to their child. We got to let Ms. Stamps know this, because I'm an advocate for my young people, period. Like, I'm going to stand for what's right for black kids that come from my community. That's period.
It dispels the myth that you have heard throughout that people are saying that the teachers went on strike for money.
Well,
and just your comments alone are showing us that that's incorrect.
First of all, talk to any teacher. I mean, first of all, it's foolish for them to say, but they need to follow
something. I'm sure you've heard it, though.
I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But no teacher goes into teaching to get rich.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to get paid. Now, don't get me wrong. You can end up with a very decent living. I will not say that that's not true. But what they don't tell you is that you only end up with that decent living after you didn't pay for 3 or 4 degrees.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That you have to pay these loans back.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you have become this professional, that you know, one of the signs that I thought was great was like, I love my job. Don't hate me for that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be angry at me because I wanted to be the best possible teacher that I can be. And the institution of education, the framework of education, supported that teachers go back and get these further degrees. And many teachers that are now in this very delicate place in public education who are almost, you know, too valuable on one hand.
Because
of the education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have teachers that went back, and I'm one of those teachers that I came through when it wasn't enough just to have an undergraduate. They pushed graduate degrees. They pushed endorsements. They pushed national boards. They pushed specialties. So now you have quite a number of this bucket of teachers that are really, really highly qualified instructors, but we chose to chose to teach in the communities that we came from. We chose to be an example before our children and say, listen, you can get through this neighborhood because I got through this neighborhood. You can make it through these because I made it through. Mm-hmm. So when my kids look at me and they say, oh, Miss Sims, you grew up in Cabrini. Yes, I grew up in Cabrini. But there is no but. I grew up in Cabrini.
You're a perfect example
I grew up,
them.
You know, and I speak the King's English and I do all of these things. And so I'm saying if I can do it, you can do it. And again, like your previous guest, I'm someone they can talk to, you know, trust.
An advocate for
advocate
them.
For And they know, well, if I tell Miss Stamps, is going to stay with Miss Stamps, and she's going to go to bat for me. And I think that's what happens with a lot of our kids. Not only have our educators been sold out, our kids have been sold out. Our kids know that they've been set up.
And Miss Stamps bring up a really good point about just the love and care. We were excited about coming tonight because we were hoping to meet some of the other individuals who have, I guess, a slightly different motive or trajectory on how to reform education.
And may I just stop you there? What Brandon is talking about is that we also extended an invitation to Stanford Children, Illinois. And at the last minute, they respectively declined to do the interview because we did allow them to know that we were going to have other panelists to be a part of this discussion. So, again, we have our teachers that are here with us, but, again, Stanford Children Illinois decided at the last minute to decline. So I think that speaks volumes.
Well, I mean, you know, I can't, you know, speak for, you know, what their ultimate motives are, but I will say this. It is very difficult, and I think the Board of Education is having a tough time with this as well. It's difficult to defend racist policies. You know, we have, you know, moved through one hurdle with this contract fight, which, you know, we do anticipate ratification this week and the board to sign onto it at the end of the month. But there's a whole other set of issues that we still have to discuss about school closures. And, you know, when Tara talks about, and your previous guest talked about just loving children, when Stanford Children came to Illinois, and their information is very much exposed on the website, where Jonah Ademan essentially laid out what his motives were. And it was not necessarily to reform education. It was about crushing this union. And your guests in Memphis can speak, you know, very directly to just the history of the labor movement, where, I mean, obviously Dr. Kane took a bullet in the face there on behalf of sanitation workers. And so we do recognize that public sector work and that public sector jobs, in particular, you know, teachers, it's overly represented with black women. And so when you have a group like Stanford Children that comes to Illinois and nothing in that legislation that they call for reform said anything about love, it didn't say anything about nurturing, it didn't say anything about supporting, it was all about making it hard for teachers to walk out and strike. And so I think what has happened, that this narrative has changed, where the CTU has obviously aligned itself with what real reform looks like. It's a natural alliance, and so between parents and teachers. And so what Tara and I do all the time is we love on our children and we support our children and we educate our children because it's so critical. And I think that this conversation about what reform looks like, we have to be very, very careful when we allow these outside organizations who are not from Chicago attempt to dictate what Chicago needs. And so this very sinister approach that I think Stanford Children and other operations like them who have brought into this city, I think the city has risen up, obviously, and we have fought back, but they are still prepared to close 100 schools. I mean, you saw the mayor running commercials that was supported by those organizations, you know, after the strike, which we found, you know, extremely offensive because everything that he spoke about in the commercial had nothing to do with the contract. The longer day was not a contract fight. It was a state law, you know. And what I find also ironic about the commercial, you saw students with iPads. You saw a small class
size.
Which
you don't see in the schools, primarily in the heart of Chicago.
No, absolutely not. But the other thing about the mayor running this, the ridiculous commercials, is that I hope the citizens of Chicago saw him for who he really is. And I think that we went to the negotiation tables in good faith wanting what was best for the children of Chicago. We were very unapologetic in stating that we were fighting for the soul of public education. Public education still services primarily black and brown children on the South and West Side. But, you know, of course, we have other schools that are doing exceptionally well. All we've ever said, and our conversation has not changed, fine. You can have a longer school day. Teachers were not opposed to the longer school day. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that people continue to get wrong.
It was just the structure of the school day.
Teachers were never opposed to a longer school day. Mm-hmm. Teachers were opposed to just having a longer school day for a long school day's sake.
Right.
We wanted a better school day. So we wanted to make sure that when you added that time into the school day, that you not only added the time, but you added the resources, mm-hmm. both human and actual materials, to make sure that that longer day meant something and mm-hmm. that young people were not going to be traversing the city at all hours of the morning and evening just to say that they had a longer school
day. And that's important, especially when you're talking about in the evening when it's dark out and you have kids that are walking home or they're on public transportation and there's no one at home to meet them. And then you're talking about extending the school day, but there is no supervision once they leave the school doors. That's very important.
And I don't think, you know, see, in this mayor and his people's great lust for greed and power, they didn't consider the safety mm-hmm. of young people going home. They didn't even consider what the school day would look like. They couldn't tell you right now today what was the actual plan
for, that long
for the longer school day.
Mm-hmm. That's important. Okay, we have a caller. Okay, Carla, what's your question or comment?
Hi, my name is Shiv. I'm calling from Chicago.
Okay.
I'd like to applaud the teachers on their new contract. Also, I'd like to ask, ministry has no money. How is he going to pay for this new contract?
That's a great question.
You think he may renege?
Well, I think that's
Thanks
a fair...
Thank you for your call.
Thank you, and mm-hmm. that's a really good question, and those are questions we've been asking since November, really past November last year when he was dead set on extending the school year and school day. Here's what we do know, that when if education is going to be the true priority, we should not have to ask, you know, for money when it comes to the livelihood of an entire generation. So here's what we do know. We do know that there's $800 million in TIF dollars right now. Mm-hmm. $400 million could go right back into public education. It doesn't seem like there's a real commitment from City Hall to begin to release that money. What we also know is that billionaires are receiving these TIF dollars. Penny Pritzker, who is a billionaire, received $5.2 million that could have gone right into education. The mayor's commercials were about $1 million. I mean, there are still 100 schools without play lots. Tara mentioned not having a plan for this longer day. At some schools, I was at a school recently, there were 90 kids on the playground with one security guard. You know, they're not thinking these things through.
Wow.
And so I think when it comes to money, I think the community, the city of Chicago needs to raise up and demand that they put money where it belongs. The only time we seem cash strapped is when it comes to our children.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart, where many of our parents work, had a $4.4 billion profit last quarter. Oh. They barely pay those individuals livable wages. These are the same people that we provide tax breaks and tax credits mm-hmm. for. The Walmart groups like that are the same groups that want to crush and annihilate this union, which is going to have incredible consequence, not only on black children, but black teachers. And that's why we have formed this black caucus that has been very active in inserting the racist policies, or at least inserting the dialogue around these racist policies. So I think the mayor and the city of Chicago have to make children a priority.
And I want to talk about the black caucus, but I wanted to back up a second, because you talked about both Tara and Brandy, you talked about 100 schools in Chicago that are really on the chopping block
yes.
to be closed.
Mm-hmm.
So was there any talks of what to do about these schools in the new contract? What's going to happen with them?
So obviously there are some things that are very much of a concern to us, but there are some things that are permissive in negotiating. And so the board doesn't have to talk to us about it. We've
right.
asked for the list of schools. There are some schools that do not know if they're on probation or not. But what we do know is this is an effort to privatize public education.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the last caller asked, well, what about the money? There are schools that are intentionally being disinvested by this
mm-hmm,
board,
mm-hmm.
but somehow there are $76 or $75 million available for charter school expansions,
mm.
which we know that nationally only 37% of charters, well, 37% of charter schools actually do worse than their neighborhood schools. And here locally, only about 1 in 6 of them actually work. And those are highly selective, and there's history with those schools forcing students out before graduation to bump up their numbers. You know, so these school closures, you all, I think the city of Chicago needs to amp itself up and be prepared to fight for their neighborhood schools. And we do know that some of our schools are technically underutilized, but let the community decide where these students will ultimately go. If there are 90 kids or only 70 kids in the building, let us make that decision. Absolutely. Not someone else do it for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Tammy. How you doing? I'm Aaron from Harvey.
Okay, what's your question or comment?
I was listening at the teacher saying how the money was allocated and different areas in the school. But now, in the contract, was it stated how the teachers are going to be rated on their performance as far as the future, as down the road, how they're going to educate our students on their performance, how they're going to be rated?
Thank you for your call.
So, thank you, Aaron. The simplest way I can put it is that there is this push nationally to put teachers on a merit pay structure. So, in other words, our livelihood is contingent upon a high stakes test that only determines whether or not a kid is poor or not. Wow. It doesn't mean that students cannot learn, but one of the greatest correlators, of course, that we see within these assessments is that they just essentially predict what your socioeconomic status is. Teachers want to be held accountable. Let me make that very clear. And what that means is we want to get better at our craft, but to base our salary or our livelihood on a test that even the framers of the test argue against its merit is just irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And so 30% of our teacher evaluation will be based on these high-stake tests. But within the first year, it's more of a trial year, if you will. But I think the good news about this, even though we'll have to look at these test scores as a way to measure our effectiveness, 70% of our assessments will be based on our pedagogy, you know, how we handle our students in our classrooms. How do students perform on assessments that we provide for them? Because that's usually the greatest predictor of how well a student actually grasps information, the assessments that we put out. And so if students are struggling in particular areas, we'll be able to get that information back much faster than a high-stake test.
So you mentioned earlier about the Black Caucus, and we also know that now that the schools are back in session, what's going to happen next? What do you expect from the parents, the other teachers, from the administration? What's going to happen next to make sure that we're reforming the schools the way they need to be reformed?
I think what we're doing now, we have to keep talking, Tamala. Our listeners have to be engaged. Go to local school council meetings, parents out there. I would encourage parents to visit a website that we think is going to be very instrumental in moving forward. It's called Move Chicago Schools Forward. Check it out. The Black Caucus, we just left a meeting tonight on the south side of Chicago where we had many of our Black Caucus members in attendance at one of our sister's homes. And we're getting ourselves organized school by school so that parents can be fully engaged in any decision-making process. So I think parents got to be informed, they got to stay engaged, and be active in their local school. And then having conversations with teachers, and teachers need to have conversations with parents so that we can adequately support and organize to protect the interests of the public.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I have to say this, though, and I say this to Brandon all the time, but we don't have time for recess. There is no recess for us.
Mm-hmm.
One fight, they say you either coming out of a storm or going through one. So, guys, just the contract alone being ratified does not take us out of the storm. We're actually right in the midst of it, because school closings directly impact what happens in Black communities and how communities get destabilized. So, as Brandon said, certain schools have been neglected on purpose to set them up to fail.
Yes.
Even some of the schools have been set up to fail are still doing making tremendous strides. I mean, it's like, they want us to make bricks without straw, and mm-hmm. we're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that they've realized we're doing that, they got to come up with some other criteria to close these schools, because it's a land grab.
Mm-hmm.
It's a land grab, and it's if you remember a few years back when everybody was talking about, I flipped a house,
mm-hmm.
I bought some property and I flipped it. It's the same thing with schools. It's the Flip That School initiative. And it's brought on by the filthy rich,
mm-hmm.
who are not invested in our communities in any way, size, shape, or form. So, I have to say this, without apology. It's time to stop falling asleep at the wheel, people. You got to wake up. You got to get invested. You got to hold people accountable. My position is, if teachers got to be held accountable, then everybody must be held
Absolutely.
Accountable. The preachers, the politicians, parents, teachers, everybody must be in partnership for the progress of our young people, period.
Mm-hmm. And one last thing that I want to say, because we're running out of time here. Where is Brizard? And I keep asking this question because he was supposed to be on this show, right?
Don't laugh. Trinity.
And I heard about that. And when I ask folks from Chicago Public Schools where he is, I get a blank stare. Okay? Mm-hmm. Again, because people have contacted me over and over again asking me where he is because they want to have him on the show. Where
okay,
is he?
It's like playing Where's Waldo. But okay. Listen, okay, I'm gonna say it quick because I'm kind of unapologetic about it. This is my summation. So when you all take this out into the world, please know this is just Tara Speaks, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So Brizard was brought in to do a particular job. And in my estimation, it was kind of like to back us down.
Okay.
And to run his policies because apparently where he came from, he was so celebrated at being able to run game. However, he hadn't run up on Chicago, folks. So he brought that East Coast swag to some Chicago folks, and he got crushed. So, he had to bag up off that thing. And then when the little ballet dancer, our mayor, decided that he was going to put him on, and he wasn't able to handle it, he had to, like, sweep him over to the side. But not really, but he had to say, you can't do it, you can't handle it, there's too much weight for you, they came too hard,
wow.
He can handle it. So now, I think they kind of, like, waiting for